Well, it's a new era of the Pastors of Pain show. If you're tuning in today on PDFM or Spotify or I can't remember where this goes out, Rob, but it goes on galactic space travels around the universes. Anyway, if you've turned into the Pastors of Pain show and you're a regular listener, which billions of people are, and then there's also like some of you all just listening for the very first time. This is called the Pastorless Pain Show now, because Father Brian O'Brien, this is our first installment without the O'Brien. He is gone. He helped start this. It was kind of like his idea to get news out to the parishes, because that was our original plan, is to get out news in between the week and talk about topics, discuss them, that we can't normally talk to people about from the pulpit, because, you know, if you're preaching 28 minutes, people are tapping their watches, they're yawning, they're going on a second bathroom break, you know, they make their kids cry during the middle of Mass. All those things happen if you're, a 28-minute preacher. Or when I was in St. Lucia, the priest of the local parish, when we were on a mission trip, he said, "Now, listen here. I know you want to give an American homily because I went to school in Chicago for 15 minutes. But if you preach 15 minutes in this church, there'll be two people crucified, you and Jesus. So 45 minutes is how long you're going to preach." I was like, "Bro, I can do that." So for 45 minutes, like, students were like, at the end, it was one Sunday Mass. I've never told you this story. Okay, anyway, it was wild. It was in St. Lucia. It was magnificent. The priest, one of the great mission trips we had with Focus. Anyway, so I digress. So this is this. So O'Brien's not here. So for the next couple of weeks until the new pastor arrives, it's me and Ponce's beard. And special guests, such as we have a special guest today. We're gonna dive into this. I got special guests lined up over the next couple of weeks, and Hannah, we'll get to her in a little bit. But Hannah, delightfully awesome young woman, and she'll fill you in on some blanks in a little bit of who she's married to and why she's on this show and why I thought she would be important, because I think there's this Stillwater's really, if you have never been here, it is, our bishop, Bishop David Condorlo, refers to it as Bryan College Station of the 80s. Have you ever been to Bryan College Station, Miss Hannah?
Yes. I actually went to Texas A&M.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Where's your ring?
Right here.
Oh, there it is. I was looking for a ring and she held out her thumb and there it is. There is your ring, Miss Hannah. You got one. Oh, well. Knowing this is, I tell you, it's Bryan College Station of the 80s, people come here from College Station, they're like, "Yeah, it was like this when I was in college. Like, it was just a small college town." And so I picked on sweet, sweet Hannah early on and to gig her for this, because I think we have a booming a young family crowd here in Stillwater, because people like the college town. They like the setting. They can work remotely, or they can go to Ponca or Edmond or Oklahoma City, or they have work here in the city of Stillwater. And so there's this really movement of young families and young moms here. I mean, you'll find, especially in the Catholic world. And I think you're finding out Taylor Akins and
Kayla
Furley. I couldn't remember her name, and her husband works here. Don't tell her I didn't remember her name. And then there's this Annie Louise. Do you ever, there's a bunch of couples over at St. Francis, and then some that kind of live here that should not be named. I mean, they're saintly people, but I'm terrible with names, Hannah.
I know.
Okay, so give us. So you went to Bryan. You went to school at Texas A&M. Just give us a little bit about yourself, Miss Hannah.
So my name is Hannah Hesse, and I grew up in North Texas, like north of Dallas.
Isn't that a casino? North of Dallas. Isn't that the casino?
You don't hit the casinos yet. We're about an hour south of the Oklahoma border.
Oh, okay.
Before you start hitting those.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. So I didn't get any of those growing up, but. I went to Texas A&M and I studied biomedical engineering and I graduated in...
Wait, what?
Biomedical engineering.
Does that mean like destroying our world through the changing of cellular structures so that we all become robots?
There's a few different paths you can take. That would be like stem cell regrowth.
She didn't say no.
Tissue engineering.
I just want everybody to know she did not. She's turning us all into robots. Anyway, go ahead, please. Biomedical engineering.
Yeah. I studied that because both my parents were engineers and I really liked math and science. So I thought I'd be good at that. And then I really liked the human body. So that was the most health body centered one, of course.
Oh, nice.
Biomedical. And then I graduated in 2022. Junior year of that, I met my now husband, Julian. We were next door neighbors in College Station. I just moved in next door.
I think it's like the best meeting. What was your line like? What did you look out your window and see?
So my roommates and I had just moved into this house and it was before school had started.
I'm just having a visual of this.
And
sorry, go on.
It's a really great story. But it was just a random Saturday before school started and it's a hot summer day. And we look out our front window. And we had these really shaggy bushes that needed to be cut because the boys living there before didn't maintain the house. And so they were just really overgrown and bushy. But I could see like peaks of purple coming through the bushes. And I was like, our front yard is full of grass. Like there's nothing out there. It was like, what is purple in our front yard? And so I go to my room that looks out to the front and
you
I
didn't
see...
walk out the front door to inspect.
No, I would not. No.
Okay, go on.
So I go to my room and I look out the window and there is a purple kiddie pool with two guys in lawn chairs in the kiddie pool. And there's a little bit of water in it and they've taken their flat screen TV and pulled it out of their house and put it in our front yard, like a big flat screen. It's extension corded to their house. And they're drinking beer and they're playing Mario Kart. I said, oh my gosh, this is the most college boy thing ever. But who are these guys in our front yard? So I went to my roommates and I was like,
hold on,
guys.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, if ever, okay. For you all out there in the audio land listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, this is what happens in college? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is welcome to my life of working with college students for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
Please, this does not surprise me, but it is comical.
Geniuses.
Yes. Okay. So go ahead.
So I went to my roommates and I said, y'all are never going to guess what is happening in our front yard right now. So we shoved the most extroverted roommate out there and said, you go talk to them. And she got their names and they came back and they said their names are Roy and Troy. And I said, no, it's not. And she said, that's what they told me. And I said, they're pulling a Drake and Josh on you. It's like when they said, I'm Guy and this is Dude. And that wasn't their names. I don't know why they said that. But so Julian was my boyfriend, but he wasn't one of the two guys out there. But after that, I think they thought she was cute. And they were like, oh, there's girls living here now. They didn't know that girls had moved in and they had always used our front yard because theirs is full of trees and cars because there's six guys living there. So they're like, oh, y'all come over and hang out. And then we invited them over. And then through that, I met Julian.
Right on.
Yeah. But he's very quiet. So we kind of blended into the background when we were hanging out. But eventually I got to talk to him a little bit. And then
Quiet or he's quiet?
He's quiet.
He's like an extroverted, like bubbly creature. When we were on that mission trip to Costa Rica, I mean, the guy is like an engineer brain.
Yeah, I think he's come out of his shell more being a leader in focus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like focus trains you to be a leader and speak up.
But you're still quiet, like a little shy doll.
Yeah, I'm a little more quiet.
Well, okay, so this is what we're getting into. So we got a little background on you, where you're from, that you're trying to turn human beings into robots. I got it. Mm-hmm. That your husband still likes to sit in kiddie pools and drink beer.
He likes to drink beer.
Not so much sitting
in kiddie pools.
Not sitting in kiddie pools. Okay, so this is where I want to go. So you're in the whole process of dating and getting married. And like now you're here in Stillwater, you all decided, like, I mean, You're having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You've been married for, you got married last December, and you're like
December 2nd. Conception occurred probably end of December. So like four-ish months pregnant.
You're 3.5, 4 months pregnant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of young couples having kids that I know of. I mean, I've just gone down the list of some, and then I went to a party the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and it was Easter, and there were 40 people that were OSU alums, and there were 10 babies in the backyard.
Oh, really?
And I was like, there's a lot of kids happening around here. So, okay, so what, and some people delay it. They're like, oh, we're going to wait till we're financially ready. We're going to wait till we've paid off our college debt. We're going to wait till we, and they have all these lines of, we're going to wait till, we're going to wait till, we're going to wait till, we're going to wait till. And you all didn't say, we're going to wait till. You just said, we're going to start having a family.
Yeah, well, I think we kind of have a unique situation because Julian so he's one of 9 kids. And all of his siblings have or are going to college, but he got a scholarship to go to college. It was fully paid for.
Whoa.
And so that helped with student loans. And then he was able to get an internship for 2 summers at an oil company. And he's pretty frugal. So like he saved, he knows how to like save his money and invest it. And so we came out of college with already a lot of more money saved up than most college students would. And then for me, I didn't have all of my college paid for, but I paid off my student loans within a year and a half of coming out of college. And so I think like neither of us being in debt, and then I was already having a job and making some money, and Julian's has had money saved up and like fundraises a lot through Focus, through his like mission supporters. And so I think we were already financially stable, which is what a lot of couples are waiting for to have kids. Especially my friends, like if their husbands are in medical school, they're like pushing off having kids. But for us, we were just financially ready. And I think for me, coming from a family of just 2 kids and then seeing Julian's family of 9, like how well behaved they are and like how successful they all are and how much they get along, and realizing that like that's, you know, think about like who do you want around your table when you're adults, like how many people do you want to make, how big of a family. I don't know, just the more people the merrier. It's kind of true. So was a little scared to start having kids so early because
you're how old are you?
I'm almost 24.
Okay,
so
you're 23.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and say
I'm 23. I turned 24 in like two weeks. Pretty close.
Whoa. But, I do have your, somehow I have your birthday on my calendar. And really? I guess when Julian sent me your contacts, I was like,
my birthday was saved.
And it's like on a Saturday or Sunday or something like that.
It's on a Sunday.
Yeah. See, the 14th?
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Yep.
Come on, brain. Don't tell me I don't remember stuff. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So why was it scary and frightening?
It was just a little scary. I thought, I was like, I want to wait a year before having kids, just a year to be married. And Julian is like, why a year? Cause like, I mean, that's what everyone says. My family and friends are like, yeah, just wait a year, people say. And I'm like, well, why do you wait a year? Like,
why is that the magic number? 365.
What are you going to learn in a year? And you're already pregnant for 9 months. So like, that's almost a year. And then if you start trying to have kids, like, well, I had some advice from my moms that I used to work with, and they were like, I said, should I start trying to have kids now or wait? And one of them said, you should just try and have one first to see, like, just so that you at least have one.
Don't try to have 4 right off the bat. Like, okay, let's have triplets plus 1.
Yeah. Well, just see if you can get pregnant. Like, if you're in, like, the right stage and like financially ready and mentally ready, then like try and have at least 1 kid and see if, like, you never know. I feel like today's day and age, you never know if you're fertile or not. Like, infertility is rising, and
yeah,
just wanted to see. I didn't want to push off those problems, like try and conceive later and figure out I have problems and then like have to wait even longer,
right?
And go through some testing and doctor's visits and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, okay, we'll just start now and see. And
guess
God
what?
Blessed us with, but, yep, you're fertile.
That's right. Okay. Well, congratulations, Mom. Yay. Do you have a name for this kid yet? By the way, I have some suggestions.
I don't know the gender, so we don't know names, but great, I'm open to names. We're still thinking.
Is it a multipotent cell or a pluripotent cell? The one that can be, the cell that can be anything. I think that's pluripotent.
A stem cell?
Yeah, like it's like the one that can be your nose or your eyeball or your lips or skin or a bone.
Yeah, a stem cell. I don't know if it's called multi.
Yeah, there's like a multi or pluripotent. Anyway, Carrie. Guy, girl.
Would you change the spelling based off of?
Change the spelling. Yeah, based on the gender. It's a good name. Uh-huh. Or you can do some derivatives of it, like Charles or Caroline. Or if you want to get really spiked, Caroline. Coraline, maybe. Maybe.
The movie.
But also, you can get really spicy and go with Carlos. Because Carrie is Charles. Or if you want to go John Paul II-esque, Carol. K-A-R-O-L for a dude. Carol Hesse. Bam.
Carol is a maiden name on my mom's side, actually, with a C.
Yeah. K-A-R-O-L or C-A-R-O?
It was C.
Oh, okay. Well,
Carol.
Carol. Oh, well, K-A-R-O-L, Carol Wojtyła. Okay, anyway, so give me a couple things. Tell me what you're nervous about, what you're excited about you know, having a baby and like bringing a miniature Hesse into the world. It's going to be short. Mm-mm. Or is this kid, maybe he's going to be the tallest of all the Hesses. Because you're bringing in like 5'10" into a 5'8" family.
Yeah, I'm 5'10". And Julian's dad is like 5'11", maybe, and his mom's like 5'2". And so I think I'm one of the tallest in his family. Julian's about 5'8". But I do have big family members. So my dad's 6'3", and then my mom's, she's like 5'6", but her brothers are just massive men, like a little over 6 foot, but they're just 300 pounds, really big guys. And so we call it the Johnson gene.
Oh.
And so anything that resembles our grandparents on my mom's side or her uncles, we call it the Johnson gene. So I think it's going to be pretty strong. So my sister just had a kid. My younger sister is like 6'1" or 6 foot. And she just had a kid with a guy, and he's shorter than her. He's like 5'9" and he's skinny. But her baby was 10 pounds when she gave birth.
Oh, no.
And it was just a week overdue, which is the average that you give birth. So I said, that's the Johnson gene right there. It's coming through.
It's strong. So
it's strong. It's strong. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. The gene is strong. I like that you wore high heels on your wedding day.
They're just a little high.
I know.
It was like an inch. Well, I didn't wear high heels.
I asked you.
I couldn't do that to
me. I said, I mean, your husband is also like a tough dude and he doesn't care. He's like, whatever.
Yeah. He said, you can wear it if you want to.
Yeah. I mean, he's a solid dude. But what, I mean, you on your wedding day, I mean, you were like, you could notice the difference when you all were dancing on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, she is taller than him by like 3 inches and he doesn't care. He's just a dude. He's like, oh, she's tall, beautiful. So win for him. Okay. So that's you're going to bring it. Okay. So the question was, before I interrupted you, what are you kind of nervous about? What are you really excited about?
I think I'm just nervous about birth itself. I think that's pretty natural to be nervous about that. But I'll take some birthing classes and just prepare best I can.
This baby's getting born in Stillwater.
Yes. They have a good medical center here, so I'm not worried about that. There's good doctors.
Stillwater Medical Center, shout out.
Uh-huh. And I think afterwards, I think there's just a big adjustment from your life is really self-centered, I feel like, until you, it is really about you. Like, I can do things on my time. I can do whatever I want. And you get married and like that freedom, if you want to call it that, it's taken away. And then especially when you have a kid, like there's just a lot that you have to sacrifice. But I feel like it's the grace of God that it happens slowly, like 9 months and then you have one kid, and then 2 or 3 years later you have another kid. Like, it's a slow process, but it is hard, and it does require you to sacrifice yourself. But it teaches you that it I don't know. This life isn't about serving yourself. It's about serving others and forming them. And like God is sanctifying you through your vocation, but you're also trying to sanctify these other people, these other little people. So it's going to be hard. I'm a little scared for it, but it'll be good. Suffering is always good when you look back on it. Even if it felt justified or not, I feel like the sufferings in my life always had a purpose. Always forming me in some way.
Because most people look back on sufferings and resent them.
Yeah.
And you're looking back and saying, sufferings formed you and helped you grow in holiness and sanctified you.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Oh my gosh. I don't think, you know, this is having two guys on this podcast, we rarely have someone who shows up who's of a different gender and B, your age. And to hear you say something like that is probably helpful to a lot of people out there that look at suffering and saying, no way, I don't want suffering. It's not helpful. It's only bringing me down. And you're saying it's formative to you.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention what I'm excited about, but I'm excited to be like one of the first of my friends to have kids. So I can really know how to help them when they do start having kids and show them that like your life doesn't end when you start having kids. You can still achieve your dreams.
Begun.
Or maybe, I mean, you might have to sacrifice your dreams a little bit, but it's for, I mean, this isn't your whole life right here, you know? Like, there's heaven at the end of it.
There is. Whoa. So,
there's a lot more after this life. So you don't get everything you want here. So it's not all about you.
Wow.
I'm just thinking about like the way you can live your life now versus like what the secular world is telling us now and like the feminist movement. Who's like postponing having marriage and kids and just sees marriage as a social construct and that women have always been oppressed into being married and that it's you're freeing women by letting them work in the real world and work full-time jobs. But I mean, it is a good thing to let women work outside of the home. And
you've done it. I mean, you've been working as a biomedical engineer.
Yeah, you can be a good mom and work a job. But it is hard to fully be present to your kids. If you are working full-time, it takes up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes women have to work because maybe your husband's not bringing enough income in and you need some supplemental income. But I also think, and things cost more nowadays, like inflation's pretty high. But also I think that we could also think about like lowering our cost of living as living in a consumerist society. Yes. I feel like that's just really increased and we think we need more than we actually do to be happy. So yeah, those are some thoughts about
thoughts. Are you kind of a minimalist, would you say?
I'm trying to be.
Yes.
Julian grew up more, his family was more frugal than mine was.
Yeah, because when you have 9 kids, we were there at their house for the mission trip and we stayed the night there. Well, I didn't say we stayed in a house, but with 9 people in the house.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was only one point where they were all there. So his youngest to oldest is 20 years apart. So when the first one was born, the last one was born, the first one was just starting college. So there would have been a point where there was like 11 people living there, 11 to 12. Is that right?
I never made it upstairs to the second floor. I've just had the first floor encounter. But his dad built the whole house and retired when he was in his 60s.
62? You retired, I think.
and then I was out there at the barn, his wood shop, and I was like, so what are you building out here? He's like, well, I got these little sheds we're building for the Munster Fest or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Little stands for the German Fest.
Yeah, like they were really old and they were no longer functioning, so he just built them all.
Yeah. Yeah, they get a lot of secondhand things, which I am just not used to growing up. I don't know, like lowering your cost of living is totally possible and to have a happy life. So when I grew up, my parents are both engineers and they both worked and they only had two kids. So everything we bought was new. And I thought that was the only way do things, because secondhand things, I'm like, it's broken, it's dirty, it's not going to be as good. But Julian's family used a lot of secondhand things, and I've learned I don't need to buy a shirt that's $40 when it's $15 or $20 at Goodwill or TJ Maxx or something. And it just taught me to value material items less. The value isn't in them. You don't need to spend that much on stuff. It's really only serving a small purpose. You don't need to spend that much money.
Yeah, I haven't been in y'all's new apartment. Because y'all are moving, because you gotta move, and like the other missionaries are moving out, and your husband's taking over as the director of the Focus Missionaries on campus, and y'all are gonna move to a new house, and we have to paint a baby room in this new place.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far yet. Making a nursery. I'm trying to decide if how long the baby will sleep in our room versus needing its own room. Because we're gonna have to move anyways. We're not gonna stay here long term. We're trying to move back to his home.
Oh, town. Yeah.
So I don't want to invest so much into this place and so much time, and baby's not even gonna know what it looks like.
Stillwater. They'd be like, Mom, what the heck happened? I was born in Stillwater?
And you didn't decorate my room? I'll just decorate the other kids' room. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I heard this podcast and you were talking about minimalism. I got stuck with the minimalist stuff and used things, and maybe that's why I don't.
Well, they'll get the newest stuff from the baby registry, but everyone else will have the used crib and bassinet and clothes.
You're not going to go to a resale shop here in Stillwater on Main Street and just buy play toys and clean them off?
I'm going to tell people for my baby registry, feel free to buy used books and used toys and used clothes. I will not be offended. Go on Facebook Marketplace, go to Goodwill, or Old Navy has a lot of discount baby clothes. So I'm going to tell them to do that, because people have babies and then they're like, where do I, they stop having kids and they're like, what am I going to do with this? I'll just throw it away. And the average number of kids nowadays is 2. So what are they doing with that stuff?
All
that, to give it away.
All that good stuff is just disappearing. Okay, we have a couple minutes left. Ooh, oh my gosh, we have 2. Okay, any tips? Any tips for 20-something-year-old women who are listening to this podcast or listening to it on the radio and thinking she's a lunatic?
Hmm.
Or, wow, I want to be like Hannah. Go.
Oh, advice?
Go in holiness?
I would say
find a guy who has a baby pool.
I think it would be really good to learn what virtues are. And there is a set of moral standards that are, moral standards are a real thing, and they're not variable. Virtue is always good in society, whether you're believe it's for religious purpose or not. But I would say to cultivate virtue in yourself and seek a relationship with God. I would say the Christian God. I know a lot of people out there single and they're trying to find someone, but it's really hard, whether you're conservative or not. Just cultivate those virtues and use those virtues to seek out a good partner for you. Well,
fantastic. All good advice. Okay, so make sure we do a lot of weddings. We have 14 weddings this year of people under the age of 25.
Well, that's great.
I know. So there's lots of weddings. So, and some people look out there and is like, what's going on with all these young people? They need to explore and they need to get jobs and they need to save money and they need to, if you know that you're going down the road of vocation of holy matrimony, then start saving that cash now. Start locking away. Start growing in virtue and holiness, and prepare yourself for the sacrament and married life and children.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, y'all, thanks for tuning in to this great episode of Pastors of Pain. Have a blessed Easter season. Peace.